This is from Luke 19, beginning at verse 1. Jesus entered the city of Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So Zacchaeus ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus because Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So Zacchaeus hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw this began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because you too are a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." These words for us today from Luke 19, the first 10 verses are for us the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now may the Holy Spirit come near, that on this day of word and sacrament, on this day of prayer and song, we might leave resolved to know something more about our Lord and our own selves, and that order that our life of faith may grow accordingly. Amen. So let me give you some context. Context is really important in this story, because if you don't know a lot of different things, you don't know why the crowd is grumbling when Jesus calls Zacchaeus down and says, "I'm going to go to your house today," nor will you know at the end while Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost, and this guy too is a son of Abraham." So without a little context, it's hard to know. We call that exegesis or exegetical content. That's a big fancy word to say a deep reading of the Bible. And Luke, as I've said a couple of times in recent weeks, is one of those places in the Bible that has exclusive material. This is an exclusive. Think like, you know, exclusive for WRAL. This one's only in Luke. It's not in Mark or Matthew. So Zacchaeus only shows up here only for 10 verses at Luke chapter 19. This is his singular appearance. Second, Luke tells us that Zacchaeus is called a chief tax collector. The word chief tax collector and the Greek word for it appear one time in the whole Bible. Of the hundreds of thousands of words in the Bible, this is the only place. So Zacchaeus is singular. It's like he is the tax collector of the tax collectors. He would have been like the Jeff Bezos of Jericho long ago. Everyone would have known who he was. Everyone would have had a good guess at how rich he was. And no one would have liked him or trusted him, because culture and history and even the Bible teach us that tax collectors were despised. They were considered to be sinners. That's why the crowd is grumbling. How could Jesus go to the house of a sinner? They don't like it because Jesus is coloring outside of the lines. Why didn't they like tax collectors? Well, tax collectors worked for Rome. And Rome is amazing. There's never been an empire like it in the history of the Western world. And it, too, is singular. And going to modern-day Rome, it's incredible. If you ever have the chance to do it, go. It's worth it. But if you were in first century Israel / Palestine, right, long, long ago, you would have hated Rome. Because the tax collectors took your money and used it to feed the very army that was occupying you and taking your stuff. It was a terrible system. And they did it sinfully. In fact, there's even one verse in the Bible where Jesus tells the soldiers, "Stop extorting money from people." So yeah, they grumbled. They absolutely grumbled. Zacchaeus would have been a pariah in every sense of the word. I mean, yeah, we know he was short in height and stature, but he would have known every neighbor in Jericho, and they would have all known him, and none of them would have welcomed him into their homes. Just to set the scene, you also need to know that Jericho is near the Jordan River. It's on the east-west migration trail for pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem. Nearly every faithful Jewish person that was headed to Jerusalem for the Passover would have passed through Jericho. Nearly everybody, one time or another, was in that city. So it's an important city with a man who's important in the tax collection business. And we know that he is disliked, and we know that he is short, and we know that he is singular. And yet, for some reason, Luke doesn't tell us why. Luke doesn't give us an editorial comment. Zacchaeus really wants to see and know Jesus. A man who on the surface seems to have had everything really wants to see and know Jesus, and he will go to extraordinary heights to get to meet him. Remember, he's short in stature, and what does he do? He chooses to climb a tree to be able to see Jesus. I stopped climbing trees when I was 20 or so. It's been a while. Let's call it a solid 34 years because I'm afraid of falling. I don't bounce anymore, right? Most of us don't risk climbing trees. We might fall and hurt ourselves. Or even worse, get up there and realize I'm terrified to go down. Yeah, y'all know. I got some head nods here. Y'all know exactly. I mean, I watch kids climb trees on this campus all the time. They're hardwired for it. Right? When you're 6 or 7 or 8, it's amazing. It ain't great at 54. It's just not. I mentioned to our oldest child this week, he often asked me, what you preaching on? And I said, Zacchaeus. And he told me, I thought that was the coolest Bible story when I was a child. Why? Because he was 6 or 7 and he liked to climb trees too. And then he and I sang the children's song together. We haven't sung it for years. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And the Lord said, Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house today. I'm going to your house today. That was great. Be able to sing that and whistle it with my 23-year-old son, that made my week. Yeah, Dad, I was like 6 or 7 and I loved to climb trees. And then I said, yeah, but when you get over 6 or 7, it's a dangerous prospect. But he's on the right track. Because let's assume Zacchaeus was, let's say, 40 or so years old. And even while scholars point out that a sycamore tree have famously low branches, and if you go and you look it up on like Google Images, make sure you're looking at the Asian one, not the North American one. But yeah, the branches are pretty low to the ground. So it could be done. So sycamore trees were famously easier to climb, but we have to respect the fact that Zacchaeus was taking a risk to climb the tree in the first place, a physical risk at his age, a social risk for his reputation, and this is the first feather in his cap because it seems like he's willing to risk everything to see Jesus. Reputation, physical injury, pride, shame. But I can't tell you why he wanted to see Jesus so bad. I can speculate. But that's not in the text. All I know is how bad would you want to be able to see someone who you thought that you could be helped by to get you to climb a tree, to get you to do something extraordinary? I once did this sermon long ago in Tarboro, and I said, would you climb a tree for Jesus? I probably would not, honestly, and I'd say I'm sorry. That would be the first of my confession of sin every single week. And so in only 10 verses, we get few details. But regardless of the lack of detail, let's assume that Zacchaeus wanted to change. Yes, let's speculate some. Something in his life was lacking. Something in all of his wealth was no longer fulfilling to him. Something in him said, you need something else, someone else, to be something else. And anytime you make that kind of leap in life, it involves some substantial risk. Climbing up that tree, whatever your tree is, takes a lot of courage. We could speculate that he had heard of Jesus and that he knew that Jesus could help him change. Remember, he's viewed as a sinner, but by the end of the encounter, Jesus will call him a son of Abraham. That's a huge statement. It's a very Lucan one, too. Luke is also the gospel where we meet a woman who's called a daughter of Abraham, too. What does that mean? That means that Zacchaeus belonged. You ever belong somewhere? Right? Better yet, you have a memory of a childhood moment, we all do, of not feeling like we belonged. And Zacchaeus, who was told every day you don't belong, Jesus says he does. For this man, too, is a son of Abraham. He's welcomed, a child of God's covenant. It's simply one of the most extraordinary turns around in all of the biblical record. It's one of the most fascinating moments of the New Testament because remember, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And he's found a lost soul in Zacchaeus up in that tree. Remember this today, my friends. The first big takeaway is that namely, when we cry out to Jesus, when we seek him out, Jesus will stop and defy what might be considered the popular or expected responses. Jesus will stop and address our needs. That song we've been singing all morning is correct. Come bring your burdens to God. For Jesus never says no. The Lord stops. There's a beautiful story in Luke 18 right before Zacchaeus where there's a blind man in the city of Jericho, and he's crying out to Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And the grumbling crowd wants him to be quiet. And the more they tell him to be quiet, what does he do? He just shouts it even louder. And even though all of the traction is pulling Jesus deeper into the city, Jesus stops for that guy too. So when we cry out, Jesus pays attention. Come bring your burdens to God, for Jesus will never say no. So regardless of the dismissiveness of the world around us, why is he going to eat at that guy's house? He's a sinner, right? Regardless of all that, Jesus will stop. If you've been reading Luke closely or been following along with me this summer and fall, you know that the super wealthy don't fare so well in the Gospel of Luke, mostly because they spend their time and apparently their money trying to test Jesus, trying to poke holes in his argument, trying to say that he's something that he's not. But here we get someone who is super wealthy because he's seeking Jesus out. Yeah, what happens to us when we rely upon our material success instead of placing our hearts and souls on the throne of grace? It's not pretty. And then Zacchaeus, we have a lesson to take to heart. So yes, Zacchaeus has a lot of courage to climb up that tree in the first place. But the second thing to take away is that Zacchaeus also has the courage to come down. It's one thing to get right by the parade route where Jesus can notice you walking by. It's another thing to call out to Jesus' name. But when Jesus says, come down, I'm going to your house today, it's something else to choose to follow Jesus. How does he do it? Well, Zacchaeus repents and he restores and he makes restitution. Yeah. That's what happens. Jesus comes to his house. He hears everybody calling him a sinner. And Zacchaeus repents. He restores. And he creates a means for restitution. If you've ever repented and had your life changed or been restored for something or had some restitution made, you know how powerful that is. I think here at White Memorial, we have Step Up Sunday, where people who are habitually underemployed or unemployed go into the Step Up Jobs and Life Skill Program, and when they come out, we invite some of them to give their testimony. What did you experience in this faith-based program? And those stories are ones that we never forget, because grave and courageous people talk about seeking help, and then they talk about finding the help. They talk about walking through that front door with all the courage it takes to say, I can't do my life alone anymore. And then they follow the process. They go up the tree and they come down the tree because they made the changes in their lives that helped them become something different and new. Yeah, they're not wealthy like Zacchaeus, but they've got the same problem. They call out for help and then make changes and restitutions which provide for new life. And in Luke 19, we meet this wee little man who trusts Jesus and makes the decisions to change his life. That takes courage, y'all. Whether it's 2,000 years ago in the city of Jericho or right here in 21st century America, but it takes courage. And that's why Luke puts it on his beloved pages of the gospel which bears his name. For Luke, it's a really important story. We're almost to Jerusalem. We're almost to Holy Week. And the closer we get to the cross, the more urgency there seems to be. I have an old friend in Virginia named Pastor Laura Sugg. She has written about this text in a book about the Gospel of Luke. And she writes, the story of Zacchaeus tells us something about looking for Jesus, even as he is looking for each of us. It is comforting to remember the last word Jesus says in this story, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Our salvation is not contingent upon our efforts alone, thanks be to God. But this reassurance does not mean that we may remain totally passive, going about life without a thought about how we can take a step towards Jesus as he walks miles and miles to find us time and time again. Yeah, Jesus is passing by every single day of our lives. Do we have the courage to ask him to stop? At this point, three questions come to mind. The first is, if we encounter Jesus in a spiritual sense, can we choose to be as joyous and generous as Zacchaeus was? That's a big question. But the scripture begs us to consider it and put ourselves in his place. I mean, that's the point of telling the story from the first place. It's to force us to ask ourselves if we would respond to Jesus and to God like Zacchaeus did. Look, Lord, I'll make up for it. I'll go four times beyond what might be expected. It's a heck of a statement. It's a heck of an act of restitution. And then the second and the third questions. Does it take more courage to climb up the tree and seek Jesus out? Or does it take more courage to climb down the tree and follow Jesus towards repentance, dedication, and a new life? Up or down? Down or up? I've been thinking about this all week. I've preached it both ways in the past. You actually preach about 27 years like I have. You hit Zacchaeus a few times. One time the sermon was called Climbing Up. One time it was called Climbing Down. Today I've got Up or Down. And I don't think I have a perfect answer. As I talked with the Spirit this week, I don't think I have a perfect answer. But I will say this, that being as generous as we can, as Jesus calls us to be, and putting ourselves out there to seek him out, sycamore tree or another metaphorical tree of our own need, and then deciding to follow him through thick and thin, it all takes a lot of energy, and it all takes a great amount of spiritual courage. And I would say this, there's no point going up unless you're willing to come back down. This much I do know. And while it will likely almost always require some sacrifice, it is in following the Lord where we find the true reward. And that's where the real adventure of a life of faith with God begins. God bless you, friends, today and always. May God give you the strength to climb up, the courage to climb down, that you may see the Lord and follow in his footsteps. Amen. Amen. Indeed, may the Lord be a vision as you live into this week. And may the Lord's vision in your life give you the courage to climb up and down again to follow. Go out this week, blessed to be a blessing to someone else. And go from this place in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that each of us might do our duty to be of service in the world until we meet again. Amen.